The Parashas Re'eh discusses many, goes through all the Jewish holidays, as well it goes through the laws of kosher. So we know one of the favorite foods, if you call it a food, it's more of a dessert, but for some people it might be a meal, ice cream. And there are many famous ice cream makers, but two famous ones in North America, perhaps in Israel, Häagen-Dazs and Ben and Jerry. Anyone familiar with those names?
No, I never heard of them.
Right, and then you have to determine which flavor is your favorite, but that could be for another time. What?
What?
I know Ben and Jerry's. You know.
Oh, you never heard of Häagen-Dazs? Okay.
Oh, Häagen-Dazs, yes.
So the question is, we could discuss which tastes better, and I'm sure we might all agree, we might disagree, what's our favorite flavor. But I'm going to talk from a kosherist point of view. What is the difference between Häagen-Dazs and Ben & Jerry's? So in Canada or America, I don't think there's much of a difference. But if you go over to the land of Israel, Eretz Yisrael, you might notice that the Rabbanut in Israel only gives supervision on Ben and Jerry. They do not give supervision on Häagen-Dazs. And the question is why? Why discriminate against Häagen-Dazs? How come they don't get kosher? If you go to Israel, the Häagen-Dazs will have an OU on it, meaning comes from America. While the Ben and Jerry will have, wherever it comes from, maybe they have a plant in Israel, it's under Rabbanut supervision. There'll be a Israeli supervision on it. So what's the difference? How come in Israel, Israel won't give hashkacha on Häagen-Dazs, yet I eat Häagen-Dazs every day, or I don't know, every day, but I eat it. It's accepted to be kosher in North America. So what's the difference? And it's nothing to do with the special rules that have to do with the land of Israel. Truma, Maisa, I mean, those could be, but that's not the issue at hand. So we have to go back a step and understand the concept of Cholav Yisroel, or how it's known, kosher or Jewish milk. Cholav is milk, Yisroel is a Jew. So there's a general halacha in Avodah Zarah that one is not permitted to drink, a Jew is not permitted to consume Cholav Akum, milk made by non-Jews, unless there's a Jew standing by, i.e. unless there's a mashkiach there, someone watching. But if a, you know what?
Including milking the cows? And he wasn't milking a pig instead or something?
Yeah, so we'll see what the issue is. So, in other words, if you just find milk, if a non-Jew gives you milk, and no one watched the process, so again, I'm not going to get into it today, I'll get into today shortly, but Bizman HaGemara Mishnah, so it was Cholav Mina Torah. So the Mishnah says you have to have a Jew watching the process. And if you don't have a Jew watching the process, we assume you cannot consume it because the concern is that maybe put in some pig milk, I don't know, camel milk, who other animals give out, what other non-kosher animals give out milk? So, or you're going to sneak in some fat in there to make it taste better. The concern is that you're going to put some other things in the milk, and therefore that was the reason for the rabbinic decree. So the question is, does it make a difference bisman hazeh, in our day, and even well before our day? So many people drink so how do we drink Sealtest milk? Or whatever, I don't know, what brands are there? What's a milk brand in Canada?
Nielsen.
How do Jewish people, observant people, drink Nielsen milk? It's not Chol of Yisrael. There was no Jew. I mean, actually, maybe it is. Maybe that might have a C-O-R on it. So today, a lot of the milks do have Ashkacha. So that means there must be someone, there must be some supervision. But there's not, but it's not Chol of Yisrael. In other words, as you know, like the Golden Flow or, I don't know, Pashkas, I don't know, whatever the brands are. There's some, in other words, what's the difference between them? So let's say Chol of Yisrael milk is you have someone watching the whole process. You know, maybe from beginning to end, different, you know, you have someone there. Again, it's not foolproof. I don't know if he sees every second, but if someone's around, so the... So what? So therefore, that is on the books. You have to drink Chol of Yisrael, and that's what many Chabad people only drink Chol of Yisrael. I mean, you have a Jew watching the process, and therefore, that there are many Hasidim and many people in Israel, New York, Toronto only drink Chol of Yisrael. That's an acceptable point of view. So, and therefore, they won't drink Nielsen. They won't drink any of this milk. In fact, maybe they think it's not even kosher. That's a separate debate. But either way, Right. Even with the heksher, they won't drink it. So, for those who do drink it, what is it based? For those who don't, what are the reasons not to? So there's the opinion of the Pre-Chadash. The Pre-Chadash writes, one of the commentators, he says, when do we have to be concerned that a non-Jew put non-kosher milk, mixed it in with our milk? That's only if non-kosher milk is cheaper than kosher milk. If it's cheaper to make non-kosher than kosher, then we have to be concerned. In order to make more money, he'll skimp on the ingredients and he'll go in. But in a situation where non-kosher milk is more expensive to make than kosher milk, so then you don't have to be concerned, and that's okay to drink. In other words, we'll call for our purposes three levels. We'll call it Chol of Akum, milk made from the non-Jewish process totally, that's called milk of a non-Jew. Chol of Yisrael is a Jew, you know, a Jew watching over it. And then we'll have a middle category, Chol of Stam, we'll explain in a minute. So the Pre-Chadar says when we're only concerned if non-kosher milk is cheaper and they'll sneak the non-kosher into the regular milk. But if non-kosher milk is a luxury or costs more money, we're not worried. That's the opinion of the Pre-Chadash. On the other end, we have the opinion of the Chasam Sofer, who is very strict. He said, of course you have to drink Chol of Yisrael even today, because once the rabbis made a decree that they said you have to have a Jew watching over the process, so we don't have a greater Beis Din today. In order to nullify it, the rabbinic decree, you need a greater Beis Din to come and nullify the decree. So number one, that didn't happen. And secondly, he said, we have a concept where he considers that since that's the custom of the Jewish people, so if you have a good custom that takes on the status of a neder, like a vow. And he says, we have the minhag Yisrael was always to eat it. So the Chasam Sofer says you always have to drink Chol of Yisrael in parentheses. I mean, Golden Flow and that type of stuff. And the Pre-Chadar says, no, it depends on what's more expensive. Rav Moshe Feinstein had his own shita. He said, none of the above. He might disagree with the Pre-Chadash. He says there's a different reason why. He says because today we have government watching over the government control, and in theory or maybe in practice also, if the government catches you lying or cheating, you'll get fined, you'll get closed down, And also with allergies today and getting caught, you know, lying to people. So he's saying there's enough of a fear factor that a person's not going to ruin their business. And therefore, we don't have to be concerned. So that depends on what country you live in. So if you live in a like Canada, the U.S., perhaps other countries, maybe some countries in Europe, you're okay. But if you go to a third world country, even Ramosha agrees you can't, you know, if you live in a place where it's hefkeris and there's no rules, then even Ramosha would agree that you can't drink the milk. That's why in many places in Europe, people say it is okay, different parts. But if you go, so therefore you have some opinions who only eat quote unquote Chol of Yisrael, like, you know, Chol of Yisrael, Golden Four, whatever the brands are, J&J. And then those who drink Chol of Stam, it's either because of the Pri Chadash that would not concern because it'd be more expensive for them to make it, put the non kosher in. And we have Ramosha's heter of government control. So those are the three, you know, you could. So let me give you an answer. So according to Ramosha, let's say, it's the end result. All I need is a system to prove that the milk came from a cow. I don't have to see it per se, or, you know, a cow, a sheep. I don't have to actually be there at the process or see it, but I need something which I could prove. So according to Ramosha, the fear factor that if they're caught, that's enough. So I assume the following would also be, let's say today, speak to Henry, you could do scientific tests to prove, I'm guessing, where did this milk come from? Is it cow's milk? Is it sheep? Could you do scientific?
Easy.
So you could do, what?
Very easy.
Yeah, exactly. So today we could do tests. So therefore, perhaps according to your emotion, that would be enough. In other words, he doesn't limit to government sponsorship, but if you could prove it, if someone could just take it to a lab and look, you're selling camel's milk, you could go to jail, maybe head out. So therefore, it should be according to Ramosha, even if you do if you're able to do a chemical test, and if you could go and prove it, then I think the person would be in big trouble. So therefore, that's Ramosha's sheet.
Yeah. That's regardless of whether it's kosher or not. That would be illegal to produce milk from an animal that's not labeled on the bottle.
100%, yeah. But then from our, yeah, it would be illegal and not, but from our, and that's why we think people are more concerned about the legal aspects than the kosher aspects. So if there was no penalty for writing kosher when it's not, they'd do it. There has to be, so therefore, that's what so those who drink seal tests and all that, we drink based on, so here in Canada, we rely on Rav Moshe, and we drink, quote unquote, you know, well, it depends, you might want to call it Chol of Yisrael. It all depends. What we know is, milk from a non-Jew is not kosher, not from a non-Jew, from a non-kosher animal. That Chol of Akum is no good. Chol of Yisrael is good. It's just a technical issue. According to Rav Moshe, are we defining the milk as Chol of Yisrael, or we're defining the milk as not Chol of Akum? So within Rav Moshe, you could debate whether, you could argue, according to Rav Moshe, I am drinking Chol of Yisrael, because if it wasn't Chol of Yisrael, I wouldn't be able to drink it. Henry.
Yes, there is a non-kosher animal whose milk we are allowed to drink. If you're a newborn baby, you're allowed to drink milk from a non-kosher animal.
That is correct. Well, you're assuming humans are non-kosher?
Yeah, because, I mean, mothers don't chew their cud or have clover.
That is true, but that gets, right, so I guess.
You better not be.
It's an interesting point. I don't want to get into it now, but. It touches on cannibalism. Are human bodies kosher or not? But I will stay away from that topic for now.
Right.
You'll check out a shear on it.
Okay.
you know, already gave, but we could discuss it another time. So, excellent observation, Henry. What?
No, no, just developing Henry's point with the milk, mother's milk. It's not the chifsa, but the gavra. A baby, it's kosher to a baby, but not to the husband, for instance. You see?
Right. We'll see. So that's. So up until now, we're talking about fluid milk. Today, with modern technology, you could have powdered milk, right? And in fact, many places like Dunkin' Donuts, a lot of places use powdered milk, not fluid. So the question is, how does powdered milk fit in with Chol of Yisrael? Is there, let's say I only drink J&J, a pure kosher Chol of Yisrael milk. Would I be able to have powdered milk that's not Chol of Yisrael? Like, what I mean is, if I made it from seal test milk and it's now powdered milk, would the person who keeps Chol of Yisrael, would he be able to drink it? Like, just say, like, why? What's the difference? Why should powdered milk be different than regular milk, right? I'm sure that's what you're thinking. Right? So maybe it's not. So let's go check if it is. So there's an interesting tshuva from Rav Svi Pesach Frank, one of the chief rabbis, not anymore, years ago, he was chief rabbis in Jerusalem. And Leslie knows his grandson from Vancouver. You follow that? Leslie knows his grandson from Vancouver.
Oh, yes, right.
Yeah, so he says as follows. He says, we have to know another halacha. He says, there's a halacha that you're allowed to have. Again, this needs more detail also. But you're allowed to use cheese. You're allowed to eat cheese. You know, even though we didn't know, even though we don't know, we don't see the milk going into it. Like, we don't, you know, we see the process, we see the cheese made, so there's halacha that, like cheese and butter, you could eat it without seeing, like, the actual milk go into it. Why? Because we have a principle that the only, and in fact, it's not just a principle, it's a reality even in the world. People are going around the world to look that cheeses are only made from kosher animals. Like, you can't make good cheeses, perhaps any cheese, from a non, you can't have a milk, it doesn't work. Because based on, you know, different things inside the milk, it won't curd, other things, practically speaking, it's very difficult to make cheese if it's not from kosher milk. So therefore, there's halacha, you don't need to do Chol of Yisrael, because by definition, if it's cheese, it must have been kosher milk. So that's what they discuss. So the question is, what about powdered milk? Does powdered milk only come from a kosher animal, or you can make powdered milk from a camel? Could you have camel's milk powdered milk? So the answer is you can. What's the relevance that cheese and butter prove it's a kosher animal so I could eat it? But a powdered milk could come from any animal, even a non-kosher animal. What's Rav Svi Pesach Frank comparing? Well, what's he telling me here? So Rav Svi Pesach Frank says as follows. He says, again, this gets into whether you feel inherently, it's quite, if you're making lousy cheese, is that even considered cheese, or it's so bad that it doesn't even make this, you can't even call it cheese. So in other words, he says, in theory, he says it's possible to make cheese from a non-kosher milk, but it's not going to work. It's unlikely people. So the effort, the point is, he said, why is it, but since it's unlike, you only have someone watching over it, so it's not 100% foolproof, but so what we're seeing, that it's unlikely that a person put non-kosher milk to make the cheese. So we see already if something's unlikely, so that's enough. We're not concerned about it. The rabbis didn't, that wasn't a foolproof someone sitting there watching. They're not going to see every second. It's an unlikely scenario. So, and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says as well, they only set up the takana when it's a likely scenario that it's going to be a problem, and cheese and butter weren't. And also during the days of the Gemara, the Mishnah Gemara, they didn't have powder. So he claims they only ushered things that were around at the time. Only fluid milk, which was around at the time, that was a specific, but powdered milk didn't exist. So how could the rabbis have a mind to include powdered milk? In other words, it reminds me of the quinoa issue on Pesach regarding kitnius. In other words, there's a whole debate among the contemporary rabbis whether you can eat quinoa on Pesach. So I'm not going to get into it. Some say yes, some say no. What's the issue at hand? So this seems to be the issue. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, he says, the whole kidney is only a minug, and therefore we don't want to take the minug and extend it to things that never apply. Ain by el chidusho. In other words, the fact that we can't eat rice and other things, that's already a big chiddush, or whatever we can't eat. But to say, to extend it to something that didn't exist during the time of Chazal, we don't, in other words, that's the principle. He's saying something similar, that when the rabbis made a decree, you only could go into what the rabbis knew at the time. The rabbis didn't know about quinoa, and they never included it on their list. So therefore, quinoa is fine on Pesach. And others say no. That's not the question. The question is, if quinoa existed during would the rabbis have included quinoa? So the answer to that is yes. So it all depends what question you're asking. If you're asking the first question, it didn't exist, and therefore, by definition, it's okay. What did I say? No, that's not the question. The question is, if it was around, what would the rabbis say about it? So that's a debate among the contemporary poskim. That would lead you to go one. So similarly here, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says, there was no powdered milk, so I have no reason to include it, because they only included things that were likely to be a problem, and therefore that's why cheese and butter are not. So it's possible, but it wasn't likely, and therefore he says milk powder. In other words, even if you eat even if you only drink pure 100% Chol Yisrael, you could have milk powder. That's considered. That was never included in the problem of it. And others say no. The Chazon Ish, others say no way. What's the difference? Powdered milk by cheese and butter, you know it's coming from kosher milk, because the only way to make butter and cheese is from but powdered milk, you can make it from a non-kosher animal. So what are you talking about, Rav Tzvi? Therefore, he disagrees and says no go. If you drink Chol of Yisrael, powdered milk's got to come from Chol of Yisrael powdered milk, or else you can't have it. So it comes out like this. So let's say the Rabbanut in Israel. So they don't go with Rav Moshe Feinstein's heter. They don't go with government control. They don't accept that. In Israel, and now it's pretty easy because it's a lot of Jews, everything has to be pure. Everything has to be, the Jew has to be. So that's that all hashkash, all kosher supervision agencies in Israel, it has to be 100% Chol of Yisrael. None of this Rav Moshe stuff or anyone else. It has to be, that's the accepted norm in Israel, to drink milk which is washed, the whole, you know, the process by a Jew. So that everyone agrees to. So therefore, but Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says, but we don't have, the issue among the different hashkachas in Israel are, what about powdered milk? Does powdered milk, so Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says, no, any powdered milk is good, and therefore, in other words, only going to give hashkacha on Chol of Yisrael. So according to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, powdered regular milk is Chol of Yisrael, and therefore we can give Hashkocha on it in Israel. Right?
Right.
But according to the other opinions that don't go for powdered milk, they say you can't give Hashkocha on it in Israel because it's not Chol of Yisrael. So therefore it comes out as follows. The Rabbanut, the regular Rabbanut follows Rav Zvi Pesach Frank, and they give Hashkocha, kosher supervision, on powdered milk, which isn't Chol of Yisrael. Hence, we get back to our original question, Ben and Jerry's versus Haagen-Dazs. The difference is, Ben and Jerry has powdered milk. That's how they make it. Haagen-Dazs, I don't know if it's more expensive, better, it's only fluid milk. So according to the Rabbanut in Israel, if Ben and Jerry's is powdered milk, then we can give Hashkach, because it's like Chol of Yisrael. We go with Rav Zvi Pesach Frank. Again, the other Hashkach is like the Bedatz, and that won't give it. Like the Mahadrin Hashkachas won't give it. They won't give it on Ben and Jerry either. But the basic Hashkach in Israel will give a Hashkach on Ben and Jerry, because they say powdered milk is Chol of Yisrael. And Haagen-Dazs is only fluid milk. So that's why they only have the OU from Rav Moshe. But in Israel, they won't eat. In other words, if you live in Israel and you only drink Chol of Yisrael, you wouldn't have Haagen-Dazs. Clearly, the many Americans in Israel who will eat Haagen-Dazs. From the Israeli point of view, Haagen-Dazs wouldn't be accepted. You know, because it's basically drinking milk from, you know, what hasn't been watched. We're just saying the government watched it, that's good enough, but that's not good enough for Israel. So therefore, that's the difference. Ben and Jerry, you'll find at least some hashkachas, the basic hashkacha you'll find on Ben and Jerry, because it's powdered milk. But Haagen-Dazs won. In fact, on the hashkacha, on the container, it'll probably write in Hebrew, maybe in English also, but it will say Avak, even though it's giving its hashkach, it will say Avak Cholav Nochri. It will say, it's a little shmek of, it's not 100%, you know, they'll give you a warning on the label, you know, like the Surgeon General. So they just tell you that we're relying on, they're not spelling it out, but what they're writing is, we rely on the heter of Rav Zvi Pesach Frank that powdered milk is Chol of Yisrael, and therefore we're giving Hashkacha on it. But Haagen-Dazs, they won't give Hashkacha on it because it's fluid milk. And Bedatz won't give, so the Mahadrin won't give Hashkacha on Ben and Jerry either. They won't give Hashkacha because that's not limited to Israel. Let's say, but I'm pointing out Dunkin' Donuts. I think Dunkin' Donuts in North America is powdered milk they use. So again, that gets into, for those in America, so if you rely on Rav Moshe, you're drinking fluid milk. But if you don't rely on Rav Moshe, you don't go for Rav Moshe's heter, but maybe you'd go with Rav Zvi Pesach Frank's heter. So there are those like that today in America. You have people who will only drink fluid milk, they'll only drink quote unquote Chol of Yisrael. But any powdered milk they'll drink, probably a lot of chocolate bars, I'm guessing. I don't know. These chocolate bars, Nestle, Hershey's, you know, I'm assuming a lot of those have powdered. It's a major nafkamina in terms of what type of chocolate and what type of desserts you're gonna have. But that's what it comes down to. It comes down to this issue about whether powdered milk was included in the prohibition of Chol of Yisrael. Do we treat powdered milk like cheese and butter, that it wasn't around and wasn't a likely thing, and therefore we treat it like Chol of Yisrael, you know, like Chol of Yisrael, like, you know, like we'll treat the cheese? Or do I say no, it's not Chol of Yisrael, and therefore only people who eat, people who rely on Rav Moshe's heter, you know, would drink it. In fact, In fact, it reminds me, speaking of cheese, the Chazon Ish, who basically, he was the big posek in Israel, I guess in the 19, you know, he came after World War II, before the Medina, before 1948, he was the big posek. He corresponded with Rev Cook and Rev Herzog on a lot of things. And most of the time he won. The Chazon Ish usually, in deference to the Chazon Ish, there are many things people don't do. So one of the things is, I think the Chazon Ish was against powdered milk. So even though Rev Zvi Pesach Frank went with it, but that's why a lot of the Hashkakas, even in Israel, the Chazon Ish was against it, so therefore they won't go. See, I want to point out, this issue has nothing to do with Israel, the powdered milk. It just happens to be the Chazon Ish lived in Israel. If he lived in Italy, he would feel the same way. That's what I mean is, it's something which is a chumra in Israel, but Israel is coincidental. That's not the reason why they're being machmir. We're not saying, well, we're in Israel, let's do it. That's not the argument. The same argument if he lived in France. He happened to live in Israel. When he came to Israel, probably in the 1940s, I don't know, whenever it was, around there, so there was no kosher cheese in Israel. You know, it was all Gvinas Akum. It could have been kosher, as we said, because as you make cheese, it has to come. The issue was putting in rennet to the thing. So when he first got there, there was no kosher hard cheese. So he told the Rabbanut they should put a hashkacha on it, put a kosher supervision on the non-Jewish cheese, on the non-Jewish cheese, because the question is why, if what I told you was, by definition, every cheese has to be chol of Yisrael, I mean, every cheese has to come from kosher milk, so why can't I eat any? Why can't I eat any cheese? Right? You hear the question? Why? If you're telling me to make any cheese in the world, it has to come from kosher milk. So then, and if I know all the ingredients are kosher, that there's no rennet, so why can't I eat it? So actually, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah has a difficulty figuring it out. It gives six different reasons why you can't eat cheese made from a non-Jew, even though you would think it should be kosher, the cheese should be kosher. Because why it came... So the Chazon Ish quotes, one of the reasons is that Rabbeinu Tam writes that, you know what, back in the time of the Gemara, you couldn't drink open water, meaning you can't just drink water that was in a, you know, in a river or why, because they lived around snakes. The concern, it was a health issue, the snake might have poisoned the water. So that's a general rule. We can't drink open water. So what about today? Today that we live in cities and there's no, if you live in a place where there's a concern for snakes, you can't. But if you live in a city where there's no concern of snakes, so that's why we drink water. Let's say if I pour water and I leave, I could come back and drink it. So Tosis said the reason why you can't eat Gvinas Akum, cheese from a non-kosher, from a Gentile source, if all the ingredients are, because why, maybe they put in Mayim, maybe they put in this water, this Mayim, and therefore that's what Tosis writes. The Shulchan Aruch gives other reasons, but he thinks, strictly speaking, that's the right answer. So therefore he thinks, and in fact, the Rama writes, if you live in a city where there is no kosher cheese, Jewish cheese, meaning a Jew made it, and all you have is kosher ingredients cheese made, so then the Rama writes you're allowed to eat it. In a case, you know, b'di'evet, if there's no... So the Chazon Ish said, when he got to Israel in the 1940s, or wherever it was, there was no Gvinas Yisrael. So he said, the Rama writes, it's okay. And I think Tosis is right. So he told the Rabbanut, I want you to give hashkacha on, the cheese was already there. And Jews were eating it anyway. There was no difference. They were eating the cheese and it was there. But the Chazon Ish told the Rabbanut, why did he tell him to put hashkacha on it? Number one, he thought it was kosher. So number one, he didn't say to put it on pig. But he said, b'di'eved, it's okay. But because you know why? It was a meta halacha. The brilliance of the Chazon Ish is, he said, you know what? Because I don't want to get these people accustomed to eating hard cheese without kosher supervision. Because if they start eating it now, so whether 5 years from now, when we finally get our act together in Israel and start making Jewish cheese, no one's going to eat it because why would I eat your cheese? I'm eating the... So therefore, if you put the kosher supervision on the Gentile cheese, so right now they'll eat it. But then once you get the Jewish cheese, you'll take off that supervision, you'll put it on the... Oh, I need supervision, and they'll move it over. So it was a meta halacha that he told them to put hashkacha on. But again, we see that so the Shulchan Aruch brings down, you know, that's why we don't eat cheese without hashkacha. That was one of the divides between the Orthodox movement and the conservative movement way back was. Two issues are over cheese, kosher cheese, and kosher wine. In other words, what's the common ground? They both have kosher ingredients. You know, wine, the issue is the non-Jews' involvement, a Gentile's involvement in the wine. And that's the same issue. That's the issue. Kosher ingredients with a non-Jewish involvement. You know, what is, you know, many details to both of those. But that's the issue. So you could determine for yourself if you like Häagen-Dazs coffee, salted caramel, or you like Ben and Jerry better. But in terms of the hashkacha, in Canada, it doesn't make a difference. In other words, if you rely on Rav Moshe, they're both equal. But if you go to Eretz Yisrael, next time you'll notice when you go to the supermarket, you'll see that Ben and Jerry has a Israeli supervision, while Häagen-Dazs does not. And that's because they use powdered milk and they rely on Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. So therefore, for those who drink only milk, they could go to Dunkin' Donuts, they could have all the ice. So it's not such a big sacrifice, if all you do is the milk. It's a much bigger... I'm not saying you should sacrifice. It's a halakha question whether powdered milk is included or not. And then it gets into whether you think Chol of Yisrael, like everyone agrees you can't drink Chol of Akum. The question is, do I assume, so even Rav Moshe, who said you could drink Chol of Yisrael, with government, he still recommended that yeshivas and religious institutions should pay the extra money because he wants to mechanic them that you should always try to do the best type of thing, you know, in terms of that. But that was, so that's what North America relies on, it wasn't just Rav Moshe, but that's Rav Moshe's heter, government control, and as long as we're confident that they're not going to put non-kosher things, as Henry says, it's not a kosher issue, like, it could be a non-kosher products as well, peanuts, especially today with allergies and all that. People are extra careful what they put on the label and what they don't, and the fines are much more. So therefore, that's what we rely on. But that's the issue of Häagen-Dazs, Ben and Jerry, about Chol of Yisrael cheese, Chol of Yisrael milk and butter, powdered milk, etc. Any questions, comments, alternative speeches?
There is a question. Oh, yes, you have a question.
And then I had a comment. You got this.
What?
You got this.
Okay.
Oh, the question goes before the comment. Okay. And it came out for the... So today we don't have any concerns. So the question is, what... The question is...